This message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Though we believe in the anointing, we also believe in competence and ability to perform, because our God is not glorified in our mediocrity. Hallelujah. Can you just put your hands together for our awesome choir as they have their seat? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I believe you are excited to be in the house of the living God this morning. Can you joyfully have your seat? Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. Alright, the servant of God is on his way and he asked me to be doing what he has taught me how to do. Hallelujah. And I believe that these few minutes that I have here, you're going to receive something beautiful from God. Hallelujah. Throughout this month, we've been observing on a particular theme of the month, prophecy. Praise Master Jesus. We have, in last 3 weeks, observed the purpose and the power of prophecy. And we've also been taught of the timeline of prophecy and how it is wisdom to align ourselves with God's calendar for us to fulfill divine prophecy for our life. Praise Master Jesus. That we have seen that this prophetic timing of God is in the relationship we find ourselves in. It's in the association we find ourselves in. It is in the church we attend. Hallelujah. So it's very important to know the place you find yourself. And it, for example, it is a glorious and orchestrated plan of God for you to be here this morning, for us to help you fulfill your purpose and plan that you were created for. Praise Master Jesus. So your being here today is not a mistake. God knows that you're going to be here, and he knows that your life is going to be transformed by being here. Praise Master Jesus. So what we are going to reiterate what we've learned for the past 3 weeks on the topic of prophecy. That what is prophecy? Our pastor has given us a solid foundation that I will be able to lay my block on this morning. So what is prophecy? The word prophecy, from our Hebrew word nebuah and from a Greek word prophetia, it means prediction, inspired utterance. And the word of prophecy occurred 21 times in the whole scriptures, 6 times in the Old Testament, and also 16 times rather in the New Testament. Praise Master Jesus. But the first time the word prophecy was used was in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 9 verse 29. He said all the acts of Solomon were not written in the book of the prophet. Praise Master Jesus. That was the first time the word prophecy was used. But it wasn't the first time the word prophecy was mentioned. Praise Master Jesus. So we are going to observe what the prophecy is. What is prophecy? We are going to also see the purpose of prophecy. We are on to see the source of prophecy, the identifications of a true prophecy, the atmosphere of prophecy, the classifications of prophecy, and the power of prophecy. Praise Master Jesus. So the word prophecy is a prediction, an inspired utterance. Praise Master Jesus. So if the word prophecy is a prediction and inspired utterance, that means there must be an author that gave the inspiration and that allowed the a man that is used to prophesy, allow him to have an insight into his own realm. And there can never be a prophecy without a prophet. And if there is a prophet, that means there must be someone that he must yield himself to have an access to the deep realm that his ordinary mind could not comprehend. Praise Master Jesus. Does it mean that all that predict futures, that have inspired utterance, are prophets? Emphatically, no. Because we have a lot of people. Hallelujah. So let me not go ahead of myself. During this course of study, we are going to see if all the prophets and all the predictions are really from the real source. Praise Master Jesus. Because we are looking at the divinations of prophecy, the source of prophecy, the atmosphere of prophecy, the power of prophecy, hallelujah, the identifications of a true prophecy. Then what is the source of prophecy? Praise Master Jesus. Without hesitation, we can openly say that God is the author and the source of prophecy. So if God is the author and the source of prophecy, that means he must initiate something that will last forever. If God is the author and the source of prophecy, and the Bible says God is forever, that means his initiation of anything must, you know, have eternal value, must last forever. So God is the author and the initiator of prophecy. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 14, the Bible says, whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. Nothing shall be added unto it. Nothing shall be removed from it. God has done it that the whole earth will fear him. Praise Master Jesus. And last week, Pastor said that in the book of Numbers chapter 11, when Moses was worried about all the bodies that God has placed upon, because of the multitudes he was placed upon to shepherd, and he said, God, do you want to kill me? God, this load is much for me. And God said, what do you want me to do? He said, let him take some elders and anoint them so that they can help him in the ministerial work. And the Bible says some elders were anointed. Even those that are outside the camp, they were also filled. So Aaron was also mad. All of those that are outside the camp are also prophesying. Moses said, why are you jealous? I wish all the prophets, I wish all the children of Israel will be a prophet. That is a wish that he wished. Praise the Lord. And in the book of Joel, the Bible made us to understand that there was a prophecy. That means there is a promise. Then at the same time, in the book of Acts, the promise also was fulfilled. That when they gathered, they were praying in tongues, and the Bible said there was a fire, a cloven fire of the Spirit came upon them, that they all prophesied. And people thought that they were drunk. But Peter justified their claim from the book of Joel as a promise. Now we have the reality as a believer. Praise Master Jesus. So from here now we see that Jesus is, God rather, is the author of prophecy. Praise Master Jesus. And if God is the author of prophecy, then there must be a substance. Hallelujah. So there must be a substance why God uttered the word and why God gave prophetic word and why there is prophecy. So the essentiality and the credentialities of the substantiality of prophecy is not ambiguous. Why? Because God is not an author of confusion. For us to know that prophecy is from God, we know that our God is not author of confusion. That means it must be clear, it must be precise, and it must be direct. Praise the Lord. So why do you know that God is the author of prophecy? In the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, can we just open our Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15? Genesis 3 15. Hallelujah. Are you there? If you are not, can you stay wait for me? Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. Okay, can we read it together? 1, 2, 3. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Praise the Lord. If you just find yourself in the middle of scriptures like this, you'll be confused. I will put enmity between you and the serpent, between your seed and our seed. And it shall bruise Satan's head, and Satan will bruise his heel. It doesn't make sense. Just if you just pick it in isolation, you just read it like that, you won't have any understanding. So what is the foundation of this prophecy? The Bible made us to understand that one faithful day, God, after created everything, he now thought in his heart, oh, I need to put man in this place so that he can take care of these all beautiful things that I've created. And God created man in his own image after his own likeness and placed him in the Garden of Eden. So because God is the author of prophecy, according to scripture that has given us that prophecy is a prediction. So God see ahead the destruction that will befall Adam. So he now gave Adam a simple instruction. Do not eat of this tree that's in the midst of the garden. For the day. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14. the purpose of prophecy. What is the purpose of prophecy? Are we there with me? Okay, chapter 14, verse 3. Sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Can we read it together? But he that prophesieth speak unto men to edification, to exhortations and comfort. He that speak unto men speak for edification, for exhortation and for comfort. That means the purpose of prophets according to God's own plans and God's own timing is certain. That is for edification, is for exhortation, and is for comfort. Someone see edification, exaltation and comfort. The word edification from a Greek word, eukodomio, it means to build up, to structure. Hallelujah. That means God's own plan. Prophecy is the way in which God used to build his own church, build people up, and establish them in his own will from the foundations of the world. So God has a pattern of dealing with men from the foundation of the world, and the pattern is through prophecy. Now the word edification, I said, is to build up and to structure. Then the word exhortation from the Greek word paraklesis. It means to give a gracious inspired utterance into predicting or into convincing one into an. To give a gracious, inspired utterance to convince one into doing that which he is called to do. Praise Master Jesus. So prophecy is to give a gracious inspired utterance to conviction to someone that is getting weak, someone that is getting discouraged from the ways which God has destined him to be. That is the word edification. And the word comfort also is to receive one, to save one, and to save one from distress of life through an inspired utterance. Praise Master Jesus. So we have seen that the purpose of prophecy is for edification, for exhortations and for comfort. Praise Master Jesus. The second one is to make them know the will of God. Praise God. The purpose of prophecy is to let men know the will of God from the foundations of the world. So what then is the will of God from the foundations of the world? The Bible says the will of God is salvation, to have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Even in the Garden of Eden, when man fell short of God's glory, the Bible says when God came down, he saw that men covered themselves with leaves. And you now say, okay, guys, if that should be the case, I'm going to do something. The Bible says he made a coat of his skin and covered them. You know what that signifies? If you can meditate into that particular scripture, that means the leaf they covered themselves with might be the law, the temporal law. Because when a sun rises, there is a probability of the leaf being withered away. And the Bible says the law is what? Once a while, every yearly, they offer the sacrifice. So the leaf is man-made own thought. It is not God-given. Hallelujah. So the leaf is like a law, because the Israelites were the ones that said, Lord, give us the law, then we will obey it. So when they fell short of God's glory, they look for means of covering themselves. And it's temporal. But God said, no, this temporal thing cannot be. So he cannot attain to my own path which I want humanity to walk in. So God now covered them with that skin. Praise Master Jesus. And that talk speak out about salvation. So the will, the purpose of God in for prophecy, the purpose of prophecy for edification, for exaltation and comfort. And two is to make known the will of God. Three is to know the truth about God. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 say, great is the mysteries of God's nature, that God manifests in the flesh, justified in the spirit, see by angels, preach unto the Gentiles, lives on the world, and receive up in glory. Great is the mysteries of godliness, that God manifests in the flesh. Whom was manifest in the flesh? In the book of John chapter 1 verse 14. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwells among men. So Jesus was the one that was manifest in the flesh. So Jesus now is now the purpose of prophecy. We are going somewhere. Please, you can follow me gently. Though my beginning might look somehow rough, but we are getting somewhere. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the purpose of prophecy. See, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Who was justified in the spirit? Jesus. Seen by angel. Who was seen by angel in the book of Acts when he was going up? Jesus. Who was preached to the Gentile by Paul? Jesus. And who was receiving to glory? Jesus. So the purpose of prophecy is now pointed out. Jesus is the purpose of prophecy. Hallelujah. The third one is to bring mankind into harmony with God's purpose. To bring mankind into harmony with God's purpose. He said, who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 4 to 6. Who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That means the purpose of prophecy is to bring men into harmony with God's purpose from the foundations of the world. So God's purpose, even when Adam and Eve fell short of God's glory, and God knew in his heart that this is not his plan, he said the man should fulfill, that he should stay in this and replenish the earth and multiply. So he knew that if he should leave man to remain like that, man will be able to multiply to his own extent. The seed that will multiply will be the seed that will affect God, that will stand against God, because it has already been polluted. So God now initiated prophecy that the seed of a woman, and a woman doesn't have a seed. You have a somatic cell. Hallelujah. That just from this body, it is a man that have a seed. Hallelujah. I'm not a science student, but I believe so. Hallelujah. So a woman doesn't have a seed. He has an egg. So I'm going to say a seed of a woman. That will talk about a virgin birth. A seed of a woman will conceive. So God knew that through a seed of a man, there might be also another ways of manipulating his own prophecy. So he now took it to a seed of a woman. That means without the intercourse of man, or having a sexual intercourse between man and woman. So there is a prophecy that has already been laid by God. And this pattern must be followed if a purpose of prophecy must be fulfilled. Also, it leads men to their full accomplishment of purpose in God. It leads men to their full accomplishment of purpose in God. So prophecy leads men to their full accomplishment of God's purpose. The Bible said, neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy. So prophecy leads men to the realm and the purpose of God concerning their life. Praise Master Jesus. So we are going to talk about now the identifications of a true prophecy. Praise Master Jesus. So we observe the purpose of prophecy. Now how then can we identify the true prophecy? See, it is illusion, delusion of some preposterous to assume that God is the author of all all prophecy. Because we have now seen that prophecy is an inspired utterance, is a prediction. So every prediction, every inspired utterance, you can't assume that it's from God. Hallelujah. We'll understand in the book of Acts, when a servant was running after Paul, was saying, oh, these men are men of God. They are servants of the Most High God. Complete 3 days. Was it from God? No, the Bible says it's an unclean spirit that was in her. So Paul now said, in the name of Jesus, out. And the spirit left her. Can the spirit of God cast out the spirit of God? No. But it's a prediction. He's saying that they are a servant of God. It's an inspired utterance, and it is right that they are. So it is absurd to think that every prediction, every inspired utterance is from God. Then how will you know the true, or how will you identify the purpose? The true prophecy, identifications of the true prophecy. How can you identify the true prophecy? Praise Master Jesus. God has already a pattern from the foundations of the world. And this pattern has already been arranged from the beginning. That Jesus, God is the source himself. Jesus is the substance of the prophecy. So any prophecy that does not point out to the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a true prophecy. Praise Master Jesus. Any prophecy that does not point out to Jesus is not a true prophet, because that was the substance of prophecy from the foundations of the world. So if Jesus is the substance of prophecy from the foundations of the world, the true identification of a true prophecy must be from Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we observe the people's, the identifications of a true prophecy. Now we are going to look at the atmosphere of prophecy. Praise Master Jesus. This is the reiterations of all we've been taught. I just recapitulate them, break them, in order for us to, you know, have something to draw out of it. We have received all this thing by our pastor. He has taught us all this thing. So on my own, I just reframe the message again. I know those that were here first Sunday, second, third Sunday, I've heard all about this. Praise Master Jesus. So what is the atmosphere of prophecy? Does the prophecy has an atmosphere? Yes, emphatically yes, prophecy does. In ancient Greek, there was a school called the School of Prophecy, where people would be taught how to decode prophetic codes, where people would be taught how to align themselves to receive word from the deities. And that school is meant for people that are mentally sagacious. The Bible says, talk about in the book of Daniel, that you should look for men that have wisdom, that look beautiful and look handsome, and bring it to the king so that they will teach them in order to decode prophetic and to know, to position themselves to receive revelation from God. So Daniel was among of those. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Praise Master Jesus. So there was a school called the School of Prophetic from the foundations, and men can only align themselves in to receive a prophetic system. But they were not the authors of prophecy, rather. They are not the authors of prophecy, but they are only inspired by God, for because they align themselves to receive from God. Praise Master Jesus. Then what is the atmospheres of prophecy? What are the atmospheres of prophecy? Praise Master Jesus. Number one atmosphere of prophecy is joy. Praise Master Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3 that it takes joy to draw waters out of wells of salvation. From the foundations of the world, the thought of God has is just salvation. The purpose of prophecy is just for the salvation of men. And them that have come into Christ have received this salvation. But the Bible says it takes joy to draw waters out of wells of salvation. That means without joy, as a Christian, you have no access to the prophetic timeline for your life. So what gives you access into this prophetic timeline is living a joyful life. Praise Master Jesus. It takes joy to draw water out of wells of salvation. So we say, with joy shall you draw water out of wells of salvation. And I believe someone here this morning has salvation. Hallelujah. You have salvation, right? We all have salvation. But without joy, there is a limit to what you can receive from God. There is a limit to your prophetic walk with God. So joy is number one atmosphere of prophecy. Hallelujah. So look at the story of Mary, when the angels of the Lord came and said, Mary, you are highly blessed that you shall conceive a child, and this child will be given to you by as Holy Spirit will come upon you. But her response says, be unto me according to thy word. She didn't say, oh, I've never heard of such immaculate conception before, so it cannot be unto me. She didn't complain. She received that prophecy with joy. So joy gives you an access into the heart of God for you to walk in the prophetic timeline for the fulfillment of the purpose which you are created on this earth. So joy is number one atmosphere of prophecy. Praise Master Jesus. Number two, you must have control over your passions and your desire. You must have control over your passions and your desire. A lot of people have missed away from their prophetic timing because of what their passion and their desire dictate to them what they should do at times. Even though they see that this thing is right, for example, like being in the church is the place of training, because their passion and desire might be in the place that is well decorated, that there is nice music, and there is multitude overflow. That is where they want to just calm themselves and listen. The truth is, if you can find a place that you'll be taught the word of God, like Cornerstone Christian Center, it's okay for you. It's a prophetic, unordained place for upbringing of men, to raise men from dangers of life. It's to raise men in all ramifications of life, to stand and fulfill their divine purpose and plan. Hallelujah. So you must have control over your passion and your desire. Praise God. Number three is true anointed vessel. Praise Master Jesus. First one, you must develop a joyful life. Live a joyful life always. The Bible says rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Two, you must have control over your passion. The third one, true prophetic, true anointed vessel. Praise Master Jesus. Your connectivity to an anointed vessel bring you out with the lamplight of divine orders of prophetic timeline. Your connectivity to an anointed vessel bring you out to the limelight of divine orders of prophetic timeline. For example, being in this church, as I've seen this auditorium today, is an orchestration by God from the foundations of the world that you are going to be here. And God has used this medium to build you up. God is using this medium rather to build you up to fulfill that purpose that you were created to. So, being connected to the vessel here as an anointed servant of God, and I believe someone is the prophet of God. So your life cannot remain the same. All you need to do, proximity is not equal to connectivity. So just be connected, open your heart and receive. We might be classmate, age mate, but we can't be grace mate. Once you see that someone is higher than you in all, in the spirituality, you're you yourself. Until there is a slope, there can never be a flow. So, no, atmosphere or prophecy is an anointed vessel that God is using to bless others. So, all you need to do is just to yield yourself to them. And as you yield yourself to them, you will receive from them. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 20 to 23, talking about Saul. When David, he was having issue with David, and David now ran to Ramah. In the midst of prophets, Samuel was there, and other prophets. So he sent his bodyguard servant, go and get David for me. When they were going, the Bible says immediately they got there, all started prophesying. The second people also, the second said they went. The same thing they prophesied. The third also they prophesied. Then he became furious. Oh, I will go myself. And the Bible said when he was coming, like a meter, like a kilometer, 1 kilometer from where they are, the Bible says he started prophesying. His own was even worse. He started prophesying till he got there. And the Bible says he stripped himself naked and prophesied day long until the following day. Praise Master Jesus. So you can never be close to an anointed vessel and not be a partaker of his unction that he carries. So the atmosphere of prophecy is through anointed vessel. Praise Master Jesus. The fourth one, develop a robust spirit. You must develop a robust spirit. Praise Master Jesus. There's no way you can walk in your prophetic timeline and calendar without developing a robust spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14 said, a carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, neither can he gnosko them, because they are spiritually discerned. until you are ready to develop your spirit man, you have no access to the deep things of God. Because secret things belong to God. The revealed is for him and his children. And who is God? God is the spirit. So you cannot have access into the timeline, prophetic timeline for your life, living a carnal life. No. Because a carnal man is an enemy with God. What is that enemy? That means you are separated from God. You have no access to his own thoughts and his own plan and purpose for your life. So you must develop a reborn spirit. And it takes a spiritual being to access a spiritual thing. So your ability now to exercise spirituality, that will qualify you to access this prophetic timeline for your life. And we have seen that in Jesus' ministry, that he has never missed a word that was spoken concerning him. From the Lord down to the prophets and the psalm, the Bible says he fulfilled all that was spoken concerning him, because he was living a spirit-filled life. Praise Master Jesus. So the fourth atmosphere of prophecy is to develop a reborn spirit. Praise Master Jesus. Now the fifth one, be addicted to the word of God. To walk according to God's own calendar for your life, you must be addicted to his word. Because the substance of the word from the beginning was the word himself, which is Jesus. And until you are addicted to him, you can never know your prophetic timeline and your calendar, which God has orchestrated from the foundations of the world for you to walk by. So you must be addicted to the word of God. And as you are addicted to the word, you become a prophet. You become a prophecy on two leg walking, as Pastor used to say. Hallelujah. So you are addicted. If you are addicted to the word of God, you become the word himself. Word automated. Hallelujah. Now I say we are looking at the definitions of prophecy, the peoples of prophecy, identifications of true prophecy, the classifications of prophecy, and also the power of prophecy. Now, we are on the classifications of prophecy. Does the prophecy has classification? Yes. Prophecy is divided into two. We have foretelling and forthtelling. Praise the Lord. We have foretelling, foretelling. Foretelling and forthtelling, forth. Hallelujah. Foretelling is to tell ahead of time the things in the mind of God concerning a person, a people, or an event. Praise the Lord. And this is reserved for the office of the prophet. But for divine grace given to us, you can have access to foretelling part time, not always, because it's designed alone for the prophet. Praise Master Jesus. So the prophet has access to the mind of God to interpret God's will concerning humanity and place and event. Praise Master Jesus. While foretelling, he is speaking forth the mind of God by declaring word or promise to an individual, people, place, or event. This is for every believers. Now, from the atmosphere of prophecy, I say we must develop what? A robust spirit. We must be addicted to the word of God. Now, this is where the addictions of the word of God will help you. Because you cannot prophesy in line of God's will without even having the word of God in your heart. If prophecy is prediction and inspired utterance, for you to speak the mind of God, that means you must have the word of God in you. And the Bible says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. So as you have the word of God richly, what will you do? You start digging them out. When problem comes, you start drawing them out from the archives of prophecy in you, archives of scriptures in you. Praise the Lord. Pastor used to make an illustration. He said, once you put your mattress in a river and take it out, at that moment, the water might, you know, stored in it. But once you press it like this, the water will gush up. In the same vein, as a believer, you need to be filled with God's word every day. You need to drink in God's word. And as you drink in them, situation cannot have effect on your life. If you are full with God's word, you are full with the natures of God himself. And what does God dwell inside you? What then can have effect in you? Nothing. So the classifications of prophets, we have foretelling and forth-telling. Praise the Lord. Now, what is the power of prophecy? This is where I want us to lay our foundation now. Praise Master Jesus. What is the power of prophecy? Does the prophecy has power? Yes, emphatically, yes, it has power. But can it fulfill itself without one engagement? No. It cannot fulfill itself without one engagement. Even when the prophecy was prophesied, Jesus being the substance of prophecy from the foundation of the world, the prophecy could not fulfill himself until Jesus arrived and Jesus started working in them. So prophecy on its own cannot be fulfilled without the engagement of that man or woman that the prophecy is meant for. So it is not your engagement that determines the delivery of the prophetic word has gone ahead of you. Praise Master Jesus. Then how do we participate in this prophetic timeline for our lives? How do we participate in this prophetic timeline for our life? So, because the power of prophecy lays with our active participation, so how then do we participate in prophetic timeline for our life? Praise Master Jesus. We participate in the prophetic timeline for our life by the word. That means giving voice to that which is written concerning you, giving voice to that which is spoken, God has declared concerning you. That is how to participate. Hallelujah. So no prophecy can have effect when it's not voiced. No prophecy can have effect when it's not voiced. Job chapter 22 verse 28 says, "You will decree a thing and it shall be established unto it. Then light will shine upon your path. Has God done all things for us? Yes. But every promise of God, our voice activated. So our voice are now the building blocks of our life. Praise Master Jesus. So every promise of God, are yea and amen in Christ. Are we in Christ? Yes. But can we fulfill prophecy without giving voice to that which is written concerning us? No. So every promise of God, our voice activated. So we must give voice to that which is written concerning our life. Bishop Oedipo said that a closed mouth is a closed destiny. Your active participation in that prophetic timeline for your life by declaring God's word, that will qualify you to ascend a higher heights in life. Praise Master Jesus. There can never be a noise without a voice. Hallelujah. So if everyone keeps silent in this church, in this auditorium this morning, would there be a noise? Hallelujah. Would there be a noise if everyone keeps silent? Hallelujah. If I stop speaking now, the keyboard is stop playing, would there be a noise here? No. And until there is a voice, there can never be a noise. According to science, they say every object remains in their state of rest until external force is applied. According to the third law of Newton, every object remains in their state of rest until external force is applied. The prophetic will remain, that prophetic will concern your life will remain dormant until external force is applied. And what is that external force? The word of God. Until you are ready to speak them forth, you can't see them. So anything you are ready to say, you are ashamed rather to declare, your life is too small to receive. So you must say them. Keep saying them. Keep speaking. Keep declaring. Keep declaring. And you will have them. You will have whatsoever you said. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 1 to 9. Can we open our Bible to Ezekiel 37, 1 to 9? Glory be to God. Ezekiel 37, once more. There is an atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus. I am the atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus, an atmosphere of Jesus. There is an atmosphere when nothing is impossible, no disease incurable. There's an atmosphere when nothing is impossible, no disease incurable. I'm the atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus. We are the atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus, atmosphere of Jesus. Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 to 7, the Bible says, and the hands of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out into the spirit by the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them around about, and behold, they were very dry in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he says unto me, son of man, can this bone live? And I say, O Lord God, thou knowest. Scenario is, he was in a spirit and God opened his eye. Not that God took him and placed him in the place. No, God opened his eye to see the realm of the spirit, the design of the spirit, how the people of Israel were suffering. And God make it to be bent it in the way that they were look dry. That means a hopeless life. There was no hope for them. And God said, can this bone live again? But to him, he said, God, you know, I don't know anything about this. Why? Because of what? He does not have indwelling spirit in him. The spirit will come, and you can only have an access into God's mind when you have a permanent indwelling spirit in you. So it's only when the spirit of God come upon them that they will have access into the realm of God, the mind of God concerning them. Because prophecy is a prediction and all inspire utterance. And this thing must come through the mind of God. That means speaking the mind of God speaking the mind of God to an individual or anything or a place. So they have no access. They have no access rather to the mind of God. So he said, God, thou knowest. To him it's not bad, but to us it is bad to say, God, thou knowest. Because the Bible says our bodies now is the temple of God. God dwells inside us. We have the mind of Christ. So we know what God wants for us. You know the place God wants us to be. We know what God wants us to do. We cannot be confused. So we speak the mind of God anytime, any hour, any season, any day. So our words is filled with the word of God. Because our heart is filled with the word of God by constant meditation of God's word. So whatsoever we declare from our mouth is what is in the intent of God's heart. And they say they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can this bone live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto this bone, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and ye shall live, and ye all shall know that I am God. You see where the prophecy lies again? As it speaks, for the glory is for the Father, not for yourself. From the foundation, we've laid the foundation that God is the author of prophecy. That means for his own glory. Then the substance of prophecy is Jesus. Now our active participation with Jesus, with our word, which is Jesus, that will bring us into that realm of Jesus. And as we bring us into that realm of Jesus, God himself is glorified. Because Jesus said, glorify yourself in me as with the glory that I have with you from the beginning. That means everything cycle back to God. He said that then you may prophesy that what happened, that the glory will be unto him, that men will know that he is God. So you can speak to any issues. Hearing some believers saying, I don't know tomorrow, I don't know what will happen, I don't know how my life is, I don't know what my future hold. But as Pastor keeps saying, he said you might not know the clues about your future, but you can make a way for yourself. Hallelujah. You can declare God's mind concerning your life. You can speak God's word so much that it become flesh, and you can hold it and slice it with knife. It doesn't matter what you are going through. All you need to do is to put the word of God in your lips and keep declaring them. Keep saying them. Some people are like Samson. Praise Master Jesus. You know, we're taught from even from primary school that it was the hair of Samson that killed Samson. They shaved the hair. It is wrong. I know it's hard for us to digest, but it was not Samson here. Okay, let's open our Bible to the book of Jude chapter 16 verse 16. Then we'll see. Jude chapter 16. The book of Jude. George. Praise Master Jesus. The book of George. Chapter 16, verse 16 to 17. Then we'll read 20 and we'll read 30. Praise Master Jesus. Are we all there? Can we read together? 1, 2, go. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. 17 said, and he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazareth unto God from my mother womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. I think it's as if I rush read this passage. The first thing that happened, Bible said, continuous. The woman keeps saying it all the time. Show me the strength of your power. And the strength of Samson said, and he was pressed daily with words. And he urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. You know, many Christians, because of the situation, circumstances they are facing, either in their own personal life or in their family, they give up and say negative words. You don't say negative words. Your words is powerful. Your words is prophetic. The Bible says the word of God is Jesus himself. Jesus cannot contradict the thought of God from the foundations of the world. Jesus himself is the word of God. So can you say, Jesus, my life is bad? No, it's wrong. Oh, I don't know this thing. Bible says, ye know all things. Do you have an unction from the Holy One? You know all things. Alright, let's see. We ought to justify why it wasn't the head of Samson, the hair of Samson rather, that destroyed Samson's life. We are going to read it again. 17. That he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazareth unto God from my mother womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other man. First thing, the Bible says he told her all his heart. Number one, the Bible says, guard her with all diligence, for out of it are issues of life. If our heart should be guided because there are issues of life, that means the issues of death included. The issues of life, that means your heart is not guarded very well. If you don't guard your heart very well, that means there is the issue of death. Until you guard it well, that is where the issue of life springs forth. And Samson said, when he was depressed, he was vexed to death, he said all his heart, number one offense. And he said, razor has not come upon my head. I've been a Nazareth unto God for my mother womb. if I've been shaven, then my strength will go away. Number one. Number two, he said, razor has not come upon his head. The secret of life. Why? We're going to look at that. The razor has not come upon Samson's head is because Samson's head was a symbol of set apartness, was a symbol of representation and consecration unto God. It is not the head of Samson that make the power of Samson. If it is the head of Samson, why is it that the Spirit of God will come upon Samson before he start manifesting his strength? That means the strength would have remained in him continually. Anytime he is confronted with an issue, the Bible says the Spirit of God will come upon him mightily, even when he used the jug of an ass. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon him mightily and he destroyed thousands of soldiers. If it's the Samson here, why would the Spirit of God need to come upon him again? So the symbols of Samson here were just a symbol of consecration, set apartness for God. He said, I've been Nazareth from my mother womb. That means I've been for God from my mother womb. And razor has not touched my head. But if I've been shaven, then my strength will go away. Prophecy 1. Say, if I've been shaven, my strength will go away. That means he condemned himself. That if he will be shaven, then what will happen? His strength will go away. The strength of Samson go away. How? Then the Bible made us to understand in the same book of Judges chapter 13. When an angel of the Lord appeared to Namua wife, that means Samson's mother. He said, she is a barren woman. He said she will conceive and bring forth a child, and this child will save his people. But you shall not take an unclean animal. One, you will not drink a wine. Two, and razor will not touch Samson's head. Three. But there's no way the angel said the hair of Samson will be his strength I will use to deliver his people. No. He said, then if I be shaven, my strength will go away, and I shall become weak. Second offense. He said, he will become weak. And the third one, he said, I'll be like other men. That means, and what caused this thing is depression in chapter 16 first. The Bible says his soul was vexed so much that he almost gave up in life. That he was vexed unto death. That means when situations start coming upon some people, they'll start saying negative things to their life. And these negative things have power to make their life. Praise Master Jesus. Now we observe that Samson wasn't his strength and his power. Now what is the strength and the power of Samson? Now we have seen that the symbol is just a symbol. The hair is just a symbol. And Bible says in the book of Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, say, them that walk against the covenant of the Lord shall be corrupt by the flatteries. They that goes against the covenant of the Lord shall be corrupt by the flatteries, and the people that know their God shall be strong and do great exploits. So that means Samson went against the covenant of the Lord. What is the covenant of the Lord with him? His hair. And he used his mouth to condemn himself. So what is the covenant of the Lord? The book of Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1. See the word that goes 55 verse 11 rather. The word that goes out of my mouth will not return to me in void. It shall complete that which I have seen and prosper in those things which I have thought. So the word of God is the covenant of God. And God is bound by his word. And there is the Lord that binds God with his own word. So if there is a law, then what is the law? A law or principle that is based on a predictable consequence of an act. That means if any law is violated, there is an act, there is a repercussion. For example, we are operating under a law of gravity. I know if I jump up like this, there's no way I can float up. There is the law that binds me as long as I'm living in this earth. So there is the law that binds something with his head. And our concern is that we are using something to point out, to paint the picture of who we are in God. But also until the Spirit of God come upon Samson, that is where he can manifest God's glory. And that Spirit of God dwells inside you already. Praise the Lord. So you can shape the course of your life. There's no mountain you cannot move. Even when Samson was in the hand of the house of Allot, Bible said they encamped him round about, and Samson came out. He took the door, the pillar of the city, and placed it upon his back and take it to the highest mountain. he defiled himself by sleeping with. Hallelujah. Let's go further. But that one does not defile him, his own strength. His strength is a covenant that is God made with him, that he said is a covenant. It's a symbol of representation. So they that do wickedly against the covenant of the Lord shall be corrupt by the flatterings. And what is the covenant of the Lord? Isaiah has given us an answer that the covenant of the Lord is the word of God. Then how does the word of God works? Mark chapter 11 verse 22 says, you will have whatsoever you say. By your word you'll be justified, by the same word you'll be condemned. Hope you have seen the link now. So Samson was condemned by his own word. By your word you'll be justified, by the same word you'll be condemned. And he said, if I be shaven, I will be like other men, I will be weak, and my strength will go from me. So God departed from me because he used his word, and God is bound by his word that you will have whatsoever you say. Matthew chapter 12 verse 37, you say, by our mouth will be condemned and by the same mouth will be justified. That John chapter 13, something at the end, he say, Lord, let me die with the Philistine. And at the end, he died with them. So our mouth is the rule that directs our life. As a believer, all you need to do is to keep speaking. Speak the word of God, a positive word all the time. Keep declaring the mind of God concerning your life by being filled with the word of God. Now we've now learned that the word of God is the person, Jesus. And we have the word in the book of Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were going to pray according to their tradition. The Bible said they saw a man, and this man looked at them, desiring to receive something from them. He said, but silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He said, in the name of Jesus. And the believer has this name. But he said, in the name of Jesus, not by the name of Jesus. That means there is something in that name. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, and he humbled himself, and God highly exalted him, and gave him a name. What name? The Bible says, the mention of the name of Jesus. Jesus, the same thing was prophesied, was spoken concerning him in the book of Matthew already, that his name shall be called Jesus. Which other name God gave him after his death, after his suffering, as his own glory? Which other name? That means the name of Jesus is not just a language unit by which his identity is known. He's an embodiment of untapped land or resources. Praise Master Jesus. So we have the name, we can shape our course of life through that name, which is the word of God. So if the name of Jesus, through his name, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord. And Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That means there is something in that name. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. I've exhausted my time. But I want to, the end, we are almost rounding up now. Praise the Lord. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That means there is a possibility in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not a language unit by which his identity is known. There is on top table land of resources of possibility in Jesus. That means the name of Jesus is on top table land of resources. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What then is the name of Jesus? And Philippians says, Philippians 2 verse 9 says, you have received the name. Has Jesus received the name? Praise the Lord. Has he received the name? Has Jesus received the name? Do we believe and ask the name? And at the mention of his name, every knee will bow. What then is the name that God has given Jesus? Let's see it. Hallelujah. Can we open our Bible briefly? Last scriptures of the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 12. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, then to 13. Revelation chapter 5, 12 and 13. Praise the Lord. I'm not there, you can wait for me. chapter 12 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And 13 said, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard and said, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that is seated on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Now the name of Jesus, I say, it's not a language unit by which his identity is known. The name of Jesus means untapped land of resources or possibility. That word contains, he said, blessing is the Lamb of God that was laid to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. That is the name of Jesus that you have. That is the name of Jesus. Wisdom, power, riches, and blessing. That is the name of Jesus. He said, such as I have, if you have power, I can heal the sick. Right? If you have power, the name of Jesus, you are blessed. If you have the name of Jesus, you have the wisdom of God. So the name of Jesus is what the book of Revelation showed us, that what he has received. Bible says God gave him a name. And here he said, blessed be the Lamb that was slain to receive. That means he has received the name. So the name of Jesus is the power of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the wisdom of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the blessing of Jesus. And we believe that we have this name. So all you need to do is to put the word of God, this name, in your lips and start saying them. So you will have whatsoever you say. As you keep declaring, you have it. Praise Master Jesus. You have the name. Tell yourself, I have the name. I have the name. The prophecy is for me. The prophecy is for me. I am the prophecy. I am the prophecy. The prophecy is for me. And I am the prophecy. I have power. I have wisdom. I have blessing. I have strength. I have might. I have all things in Christ Jesus. Can you jump on your feet and start declaring God's word now? God.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 80 74 07 85 66. We celebrate you.